Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. With me in the studio today is my friend Noah Martin. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
So, Noah, you grew up, we're here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Yeah, we're reaching like 170-some countries, but right here in Lancaster County. You grew up right here near the town of Manheim, Pennsylvania. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Wow. Yeah. And you've lived here your whole life. Uh-huh. Amazing. And your wife also is in the same area code. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. We joke around. We haven't gotten out of the zip code yet. We've traveled.
You don't get out much.
Exactly right.
Talk to me about some of the roles in leadership that you have had thus far.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yes. So currently, I'm in a role that's a little bit unique. So the town that we live in is Manheim Borough.
Yes.
And I serve as the president of council. And my term is actually ending here. It's a 4-year term.
Wow.
I got started young. And just 2 years ago, I was able to serve as the president. So I've been in that role now for 2 years.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
So what are the areas of leadership? Obviously, you're involved in business.
So I grew up in a large family.
How many were in your family?
There's 14 children.
14 children. 14.
I was number 10, so there was instantly responsibilities there. And the older always tried to lead and manage some of the younger. So I tried to sometimes exert leadership there growing up, but the family was one. I would have served as our youth group president for a time. We started a young professional group in Manheim as well, just looking to connect young people, have a source of education for them post high school, and then serve the community. So that was a fun venture that lasted a few years, as well as we served as small group leaders in our home church, Dove Westgate.
That's
in Effordah.
Awesome. Now you're involved in business also.
That's correct.
You sell real estate, right?
Yes. I sell real estate. I've been in the real estate business now for 10 years. And that is a way that really I'm able to serve the community and be active in different ways and volunteer in leadership in other ways as well.
Awesome. Tell me what it was like growing up. How did you come to faith in Christ? Let's deal with the whole faith side of your life first.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to ask you some leadership questions after that.
Awesome. Yeah. So growing up, I grew up on a dairy farm with my many siblings. So we learned to work from a young age.
Yeah.
And my father actually was an associate pastor at the local Mennonite church.
Really?
Yeah. So we grew up in the Mennonite faith, and I became a Christian. I think it was around 4, and I got baptized when I was 10. So I had a tremendous faith heritage from the beginning.
Sure.
But really, I would say my late teens and early 20s, my walk with Christ became real, because I realized how much I needed him and the ways that he had moved in my life. It's pretty amazing. So started with a faith foundation, but then took it more personally as an adult.
And what are some areas that you've worked in over the years, jobs, that you learned leadership from?
Yeah. So I was a young teen when I started an egg business. Actually, I probably wasn't a teen with my two brothers. We called it CNS Eggs. So that was one I started a business, and it was a struggle because our partnership didn't work well. Three brothers, we were all competitive. And we actually were in business for a year. It's kind of a funny story. We stacked all the cash from the eggs that we sold in a box.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, we were dividing up the money three ways. We were all excited. And then my father came in and said, actually, we owed him for the feed we had purchased, for the chickens we had bought. And we realized we had debt to him. All the cash went to him, and we made no money. And it was a great business lesson as a young person, because we realized, you can do all the work and not have a profit. But that was something that I started in. And then when I was older, I sold puppies and had a little business that way. I got started in real estate right out of high school.
Okay.
And then I also served at a local restaurant and had some leadership roles there as well. So it was great at the restaurant actually learning how to serve customers and how to lead team members. So while that was not my dream job, it really provided to pay the bills, and it was a training ground for me.
See, God uses all these things in our lives, to teach us leadership principles for the future. So whether you're in the egg business, I was in the egg business too, you're a man close to my heart.
Yeah.
And or you're serving in a restaurant or whatever that is, we learn things there that are so important. I think back in your egg days, you needed an accountant. That's what you needed, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, so we knew year-to-date, month-to-date where we were at.
Right, exactly. So what are some things that you wish you would have known when you started?
Yeah, so I've, since a young boy, always wanted to be a leader. Okay. I wanted that authority. I wanted that respect. Uh-huh. And as I was thinking back, there were some times in the milking parlor, you know, as a child or, you know, trying to exert authority. There was one time with a farm boy that I said, you have to listen to me because I'm the boss's son. And that felt
fine.
I'm
sure that went over well.
It did not. And even with my siblings trying to exert. And there was a lot of my life where I wanted to be a leader, but just didn't know how. So I think God provided a lot of the training opportunities. But some of the mistakes I would have made is exerting myself maybe as a leader, but then operating sort of out of an orphan spirit for a while where I would do everything myself.
Explain orphan spirit.
Yeah, so an orphan spirit, from what I understand, is not trusting God and feeling like you need to do everything yourself, very works-based. And for a season of my life, that is how I operated. Through some of the challenges of working with my brothers or other team members, felt that I was the only one I could trust.
Feeling alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I knew I could succeed. So a lot of the things that I would do would just be individually based on myself. Yeah.
So that's really speaking to some people on the podcast right now, I'm sure, that are listening to this episode. So how did you get through that? Like, what changed in your life? How did you deal with orphan spirit in your life?
Yeah.
How did you find freedom?
I think it was finding my identity and working through, you know, how God really views me. And a lot of that had to do with mentorship and people pouring into my life.
Good.
Because when I was comfortable with who I was, then working as a team, I didn't have to take credit. We could, you know, work together collaboratively to reach a goal. That was a major point for me.
You mentioned the importance of identity, you know, having an identity in the Lord and who He is. And that makes all the difference with the orphan spirit. Mm-hmm. So many people have an orphan spirit. It could come because they haven't had a father who loved them. Maybe they were true orphans. Or maybe they had a father who loved them, but somehow they didn't understand the Heavenly Father's love. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we believe so much in becoming spiritual fathers and mothers to others and helping them grow so they can become spiritual fathers and mothers also.
Yes, yeah. I actually read the book that you wrote, Larry, The Cry for Spiritual Fathers and Mothers, and I think it was maybe a year or two ago. And I remember thinking, wow, this is such fresh revelation. Where has this book been all my life? And then I looked at the publishing date and it was around 2000 or something. It's been around most of my life. But I just fell across it, I think, after the rebranding. So that book has tremendous insight that I'd recommend your podcast listeners to read.
Oh, thank you.
If this resonates with them.
Thank you. Well, if you're interested, check out the show notes of the 40-some books I've written. It's probably one of the books that have helped people more than almost any other book I've written. Mm. And it was a revelation for me. Even though I had a father who loved me, I went through a deep time in leadership where I wanted to quit, didn't want to go on. And in the midst of that, I realized that God, my Heavenly Father, loved me, and that's all that really mattered. I was trying to get my security, my significance from people and where they liked me, rather than from the Heavenly Father. So I appreciate your affirmation of the book. Yeah. I'm glad it's been a blessing to you. It's now been translated in various languages throughout the world.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's a great blessing. Let's talk about teamwork. Talk to me about teamwork. How did you learn teamwork? What's that look like for you?
Yeah, so it's looked differently over different seasons of life. I love to do things with someone as sort of a co-leader. That's something I've learned more recently. There's many blessings to doing that. For example, if you're starting a small group and no one comes, well, at least you have yourself and a co-leader. You can still make it happen.
You got it.
And you know, doing that together, it can also be sort of a mentorship or you know, pouring into someone that may not know, or you know, just kind of learning alongside. And yeah, teamwork can look differently. On our real estate team, we have so many different gifts where everyone can pull together, and you know, we have the designer, we have someone that manages all the tasks, and then we have the high energy people that like to sell and connect with people. And really, when you bring all those things together, it can just be so beautiful. And I think part of the challenge then is honoring each gift, because there's different frustrations with different, you know, talents, and understanding where people are at with that.
Yeah, I have learned over the years to really appreciate people who are different than me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I see one piece of it. And other people, resource weaknesses that I have and others around me have, makes all the difference. And building a team of people that are different makes all the difference in the world. What do you do that helps you become a better leader?
That's a great question. I love to read. I love to listen to podcasts like the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast.
Oh, great.
And then also mentorship. I believe that there's so much value in having a connection with someone that is further ahead in life that can just pour into you. You can ask questions too. I think sometimes when you're asking questions, you sort of begin to piece together maybe what the answer is. But just having someone that you can do life with is very valuable.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you made a couple of mistakes in your life.
Yes.
Most of us do. We make lots of them. Are there any mistakes you made that you'd be willing to share with us and you learn from that to be a better leader?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think about some mistakes that we've made in our small group leadership, sort of operating under this, you know, we have to do everything ourselves. You know, we took on too much of the burden, sort of got burnt out. And then even with that, just, you know, we just sort of like up and dropped, not having communication and bringing people on in the conversation and working towards a solution together. Like, I've learned so many things since then, but, you know, it's really great if you can process through. So it's a team decision or a group decision.
Correct.
As opposed to just, you know, we got burnt out and just, you know, ended abruptly. So that was one of the things.
Good. Yeah. Teamwork is so powerful. I mean, I've learned honestly in life, I look back in my years of leadership, that almost everything I've done, maybe everything, but almost everything, was with a team.
Hmm.
I mean, every book I've written had a team of people who helped me. And when I get a new idea, a new vision for the future, I've often found that first thing I need to do is ask God to bring someone to begin to build a team.
Ah.
To see it happen.
Yeah.
Because if we move out too fast on our own without the team, we get caught. So anyway, we all learn these things as we go. What would you say to a younger leader who would ask you for advice how to really be healthy and how to stay healthy as a leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel very young myself, but I'll muster all my experience.
You got it.
I would say mentorship and accountability are really great, just plugged into the community.
Yeah.
I think there's sort of a cultural shift sometimes, you know, with our electronic world, you know, on social media or different things, to be one-sided connected. You know, you can watch and observe, but there's not that other the other person, the other community. So to stay healthy, and I would say, you know, to connect with others and just be real and raw and go through life together. Because sometimes, you know, leadership has a pedestal or an elevated, you know, position, and sometimes it can be lonely for the leaders. And it's not every safe place to share your heart and exactly what's going on. So I think that's good. And it doesn't happen easily. It's something you have to build, those relationships, trust over time.
That is so
something
true.
That needs to be built. So there needs to be initiative to start that before the storms of life come when
exactly
it feels lonely.
Now, you have mentioned various times on this podcast already mentors and the importance of mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be very real to you. And I agree with it completely. I mean, we all need mentors today. There are people in my life, you speak in my life, who are older and wiser than I am. And I learn a lot now in my age. I learn a lot from people who are younger. You know, it's like called reverse mentoring, they call it sometimes. So anything else you'd want to say about that?
Yeah. So when I was a teenager, I remember specifically crying out to God, praying, asking for a mentor, someone that would walk with me through life.
Yeah.
And God answered that prayer in a beautiful way. When I was older, I was recently married, maybe a year or so, early 20s. And I went through a structured mentorship with a group called Men of Iron, a local mentorship program.
Sure.
And that absolutely changed my life. It was, it was everything I was asking for. And it was really just amazing how God met me where I was at. And because of how, you know, God worked through my life during that mentorship period, I'm so passionate about mentorship. I'm always trying to encourage people to reach out and, you know, create these connections, as well as now I mentor some that are younger and getting started in life. So it is a passion of mine. And it's really neat, too, to look through. A lot of the people that have poured into me have been through a work environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really neat to see how, you know, to your podcast listeners, where you work, how you provide for your family is an excellent opportunity to just take a little extra initiative and pour into someone's life.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Love it. So are there any key issues you see in leaders today, especially Christian leaders, that they're facing today that you would like to speak to? You know, especially Christian leaders of faith, you know, walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
Anything that you see you'd like to speak to in that realm?
Yeah. I think some of the challenges for leaders today is, you know, the younger generation and some of the times that we're in, they want to talk about anything and they want to be very real. And different generations, that was more, you know, taboo or more secretive.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge can be speaking the truth in love. So the truth needs to be spoken, but with love. And I think that can be, you know, some generations just want to, you know, hammer, you know, their beliefs without too much, you know, consideration for where others are at. And I feel sort of in the middle of that sometimes, but just to have conversations with tact and not avoid the tough conversations, I think is a challenge for some. But it's a really great opportunity because I know the younger folks want to talk about the hard things in life.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people call those crucial conversations. Exactly. You know, I think we really, really need those. Anything else on leadership you'd like to share with our friends today around the world? Anything else that we're missing? Anything you felt you carried into this studio today? You want to unload?
Yeah.
This is your opportunity.
Yeah. So I believe that we are always on a journey. We're always learning, always growing. Yes. So one of the things that I've tried to take a posture of is I haven't arrived. I don't know it all. So I'd encourage your podcast listeners to always be, you know, reading, learning, praying, pressing in.
So good. And
with an open heart and hands, just to see what God would teach you in the season.
Yeah. That is very, very good. Well, it was great having you on the podcast today. I do have one or two more questions for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
You grew up in a home of 14.
Yeah.
And you grew up in a pastor's home.
Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in a pastor's home?
So that had some challenges. It was a very small Mennonite church.
Okay.
Well,
if you had 14 in the family, you could have been the whole church, right?
We were close to it. So the family dynamics is very large. Some children, as they were going up through the teenage years, sort of rebelled to find their identity. I felt like I was trying to be on track and the good child.
Sure.
But it's interesting, in hindsight, you know, as we're adults talking to siblings, you know, we had similar feelings, hurts, and struggles, but it came out differently. So even one, you know, attempting to be the right, straight and narrow still was dealing with the same heart issues. And it's interesting how there's so much, you know, similarity between similar stories, but different paths. So I would say don't judge a book by its cover is something on that.
That's good. And the last question I would have, it would have to do with you're involved in business, you're involved in real estate. Anything else there you've learned about leadership that you'd like to pass on? Because many of people listening are involved in business of some kind.
Yes.
Anything else you want to share with our listeners about that?
Yeah. So my grandfather was a farmer, and one of the farmhouses that he had, he divided into four apartment units.
Okay.
And on the first of every month, he was collecting checks. So as a very young boy, I thought,
that seems
pretty interesting. I want to learn about that.
Yeah.
So I got started with real estate, and the lesson learned is I thought I was going to be very successful and earn commissions. And my first year, I was not. It was on the 12th month of the year that I had my first sale. And I had a large learning journey to go through to learn the life lessons that I would be able to carry the success. So my encouragement would be, if you're doing something and you feel called to it or inspired, there's journey that you need to take that may not look like the success that you thought it
was.
That
is so good.
Yeah, so I just encourage you to stick it out, you know, work through those hard times and seek mentorship. Look for people that have been a success in the area that you're looking to work in.
No, you're a great blessing. You have so many good insights here that are helping many of our listeners around the world. So thank you for being part of the podcast today.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for the invite.
Of course. And again, for our podcast listeners, please check out the show notes. And there'll be some keynotes on there of things we've talked about here today. And check out the book, The Cry for Spiritual Fathers and Mothers, if that's of an interest to you. Get that any place you buy books, Amazon or anywhere you buy books. And again, it's great to have you with me today, Noah. Thank you. God bless you. And for everyone on the podcast, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.